Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. For questions or to discuss the issues you may be dealing with, we invite you to call right now. The number, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your question or discuss those important issues you face in life right now. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. This week we've been talking about repentance and trying to get a handle on what's the difference between repentance and something else. What is godly repentance, and just how does repentance work? Paul gives us a great example in his second letter to the Corinthians. It's in chapter 7. He's gotten a report back from Titus that the Corinthians got his first letter and took it to heart. And he's congratulating them. And then he says something interesting. This is starting in verse 8. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. I think right there in that last statement, he really nails it down. For so many of us, when we're dealing with repentance, we're sorry for something that happened, we're sorry we got caught, or we're sorry that somebody else got hurt, and there's all kinds of regret tied up in that. But when we've got the kind of repentance that God is looking for, the regret isn't there, only the salvation, only the certain knowledge of forgiveness that we've been given in Christ. And so if you're out there thinking about, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, I've sinned, I've got this habit, oh, it's just so terrible, and you've got a lot of regret going on with that, it's time to turn around and look at Jesus and say thank you, rather than, oh, my goodness, he's going to hit me. You know, he's going to beat me about the head and shoulders with a 2x4. That's not going to happen. He is completely consistent, completely loving, completely just. He forgave us, and he gave us life. Let repentance take you to that positive state.
Yeah, good idea. Good
hope
opening,
so.
Richard. Thank you. Andrew, and welcome to the broadcast today.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's great to be with you, as always. And I love this passage, Richard, you know, what you shared about it. The kindness of God is what's supposed to lead us to repentance. And I think we can lose sight of that sometimes. And what we end up doing is we get repentance and condemnation mixed up. They end up becoming balled together, and
yes,
there's a gray area, and we wonder, you know, is this God or is this Satan? And I think the mark of Satan is always that he's going to steal your joy and kill your contentment and destroy your Christian life. That's what the enemy wants to do. But God says, where my spirit is, there's going to be liberty, and there's going to be freedom and joy and
yes,
contentment. And you know, I think that's the bottom line here. When we repent from something that's ripping us apart anyway, and then we turn toward God, what we're going to get from him is the kindness and the love and the grace and the mercy. And so many times I think we can end up falling prey to the enemy's condemnation, and we don't even realize it because our view of God is way off base. So we got to get back to seeing the smiling face of our Father who really cares about us. And all he really wants is he just wants the best for us. And that's why he helps us escape the lusts of the world.
Yeah. Well, good stuff, guys, as we get this broadcast underway. It is Basic Gospel, and friends, we're glad that you've joined us. If you have something you'd like to talk about, if you'd like to add to this part of the conversation or present a new topic, we'd love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. Go ahead and fill up those lines right now. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Let's go to Mahopac, New Jersey, and talk to Pete, listening on our great New York affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Pete. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you, guys. Are we still under God's wrath with the fallenness of the world?
Well, you know, Jesus talks about the wrath of God, Pete, and he says that whoever does not believe in Jesus stands under his wrath still, remains under the wrath of God. But whoever believes in the Son of God, we're not under the wrath. We're actually removed, and that's why there's no...
The fallenness of the world.
Uh-huh.
And that, I mean, isn't it still sort of a wrath? No.
Well, right now we're in a time period, Pete, where, you know, God's will is that none perish but all believe, and Jesus did not come to judge the world but to save it. So there will be a wrath for those that don't believe. There's going to be a day when everyone faces judgment. But right now,
we're under a wrath now? No.
Well,
no.
Except for the fact that actually the wrath of God is death, and to the extent that we're born...
Right.
Spiritually
well,
dead.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the wrath.
Right. We're spiritually dead, but also there's also sickness.
That's why I said no, Pete, because the reality is when you go down that road, then somebody's got a chest cold. God's doing that to them. When airplanes go into buildings, God's getting his wrath on people in New York. When someone dies of cancer, well, they had committed too many sins, so God took them out. And we end up with all this messed up theology.
Well, doesn't Christ say don't sin no more,
Right, but not because God's going to get you. In other words, Pete, there's got to be a motivation that's a love motivation for not sinning. The reason that we don't want to sin is not out of fear of punishment, but because we've got Christ living in us. So what I'm saying is that these folks who get on TV and radio and write books about how God's trying to get the world and punish the world, well, God's trying to save the world. That's what he wants to do. And so it's really off base for us to be looking at the circumstances that people are in and then saying God's getting them or they're under God's wrath right now. That's much like Job's friends were trying to tell Job at the time, but really, God is in the business of saving, not punishing, and that's what His heart is for all of humanity. Now, people will
from another angle. If you're not in Christ, you're under His wrath.
Yeah, you're under God's wrath, and you'll ultimately pay for that. Sure.
Right.
But that doesn't.
I look at it as the fallenness is the wrath. That's what I believe. But in Christ Jesus, you're saved.
Right. But, there's more to it. I mean, when you hear the word wrath, people think of all kinds of things. They think of punishment and judgment, usually. And so my point is that there'll be a day for punishment and a day for judgment, but right now is the day of salvation.
Yeah. Pete, hope that helps. And hope if you need further help more additional information, why, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you again. 844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on that clock. Going to bring it home to Dallas right now and talk to Shelley, listening on our great Dallas affiliate, KWRD The Word. Hi, Shelley. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. How are y'all?
Great. Good to hear from you.
I have a couple of questions. I have an adult daughter that she has recently attempted suicide. And it's a very serious attempt. She shot herself in the chest and meant, to die. And personally, what I'm asking is, she survived and she lived by the grace of God. And I know that. But does committing suicide automatically mean that you're going to hell? Or does God, really know that these people are sick and they're sad?
Hmm. Yeah.
That's the thing I'm just wondering.
Well, Shelley, I mean, God knows what's going on in your daughter's mind and the difficulty that she has had as she's struggled probably with depression and anxiety and her own self-image and all kinds of things that would lead a person to try to take their own life. And, often Christians who don't know what they're talking about will end up entering that situation and saying that, suicide is the unforgivable sin or something like that. And when we look at Scripture, there is a sin that leads to death, meaning there's a sin that we can't pray somebody out of. There's a sin that leads to death, but that sin is unbelief. And so in context, I think we have to look at the fact that the only reason someone would go to hell is unbelief in Jesus. Jesus didn't die for 82% of your daughter's sins. He died for all of her sins. And so if she has believed in Jesus Christ and trusted him for salvation, then she's a totally forgiven person. Even if she messes up in her thinking and gets off track and gets into a place of anxiety and depression, I mean, how much more would the Father's compassionate heart be available to her at that time to find mercy and grace, not condemnation and judgment? So, you know, suicide is not the unforgivable sin. And folks who say that really don't know what they're talking about. The only sin that we go to hell for is the sin of unbelief. And from that sin, there's many other sins that people commit. But the core of what sends us to hell is not believing in the gospel. And if your daughter believes in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then my goodness, there's no one that can snatch her out of her Father's hand. So she is in Christ and sealed and secure and safe forever, no matter what.
That's how I feel too. That's exactly how I feel. I just wanted to talk to somebody and ask them that, because you're right. There are different views from different people.
Yeah. Is your daughter in Christ? Does she know Jesus as her Savior?
Yeah, she does, right. and she has been saved, and several times I've been with her, and she had an experience, you know, at the moment, you know, that she had told me about too, of choosing, you know, evil or going with God during her healing process in the hospital. So I just wanted to confirm. I just wanted someone else to say.
Well, the good news about her failure, if you want to call it that, to commit suicide, is that this Jesus that she belongs to, his grace is sufficient to deal with her even now. In this situation, whatever it is she's going through, his grace is sufficient, and both of you can rest in that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Well, you're quite welcome, Kelly, if we can help further, or Shelley, I'm sorry, if we can help further, don't hesitate to jump on the line and give us a call. We are delighted that we're enabled each day to be here Monday through Friday to take calls just exactly like those from Shelley, and to be available to offer an answer and offer comfort. And so thank you so much, friends, for your support of this ministry called Basic Gospel. And please remember that we are dependent upon the prayers and gifts of our listeners to keep this good news of Jesus Christ on the airwaves and online. And something special this week and this month, with your gift of $15 or more, you'll receive a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, due to be released the first week in July. So help us keep the good news coming. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Please make your donation today by clicking donate on any page at Basic Gospel, or again, that phone number, 844-412-2742. Billy is standing by. She'd love to speak with you right now.
Let me piggyback a little bit on that message there, Bob. At the beginning of the year, we always budget for, you know, what we think our expenses are going to be and how giving comes in and you know, when people give and all that sort of thing. Well, we're almost to the halfway point. At the end of June, we'll be halfway through our year. And we wanted to be at the $500,000 mark of total income by the end of June. And we started out the year really badly. I mean, there was some painful weeks there while we watched the money disappear. However, that has turned around somewhat. And as of right now today, we're not quite 2 weeks into the month, we need less than $100,000 to make that $500,000 goal for this half year.
Yeah.
And it's a doable thing.
Sure.
I mean, it's not like we're sitting here saying, you know, we're $5 million behind. It's less than $100,000. And we know there are enough people listening here that just a few dollars from a lot of people would more than make up for this. And with this offer of getting Bob's book for a gift of $15 or more, I would consider that incredible motivation. I've seen the book. I've read major parts of it. I've actually seen a copy of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Bob got a copy yesterday in the mail. They sent him the very first copy. It's good looking. It's well done. You're going to love this book. It's going to teach you things about the gospel that you need to know, you may not have known before. And by helping us reach this goal, it puts us on a very strong footing for the second half of the year. And we're going to say thank you in advance for what you and the Lord are going to do on our behalf.
Yes, indeed. Again, for a gift of $15 or more this month, you'll be getting a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And I have not seen Bob Christopher quite this excited in quite a while. So,
yes, so he's kind of dancing around.
Yeah, we're kind of excited for him. Well, again, open lines, friends, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel with Richard Piper and Andrew Farley. My name is Bob Davis, and had an email question from Steve, who writes to us from New Jersey, listens on WMCA, our great New York affiliate, concerning Luke 22, verse 38. He says, the disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That is enough," Jesus replied. Then in Luke 22:51, it says, "But Jesus answered, 'No more of this.'" So Steve's question is, why were the disciples allowed by Jesus to bring the swords if he didn't want them to use them?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. A bit of Bible trivia here, really.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know that we're going to give a definitive answer, but just because they said, look here are two swords, and he said to them, it is enough, doesn't mean that he wants them to then go, you know, start lopping ears off with them and use those swords. Maybe you're just a fly on the wall here in a conversation between Jesus and his disciples, and he's saying, look, if that's what makes you feel secure in this moment, if this is what you feel like you need to bring with you, I'm not going to snatch those away from you or tell you can't have them. But of course, he knows the real security is found in God the Father, not in a couple of swords. So it's real interesting to me because in a way, I think there's a lesson to be learned here. We often wonder, you know, why doesn't God just take away things that we tend to depend on? And sometimes people will teach a God who is very much like Dr. Death or something, where they'll come along and God will come along and just say, oh, you're dependent on that too much, I'm going to snatch it away. You're dependent on that too much, I'm going to snatch it away until all you have left is me. And really, I don't think that's the way our Father operates. Sometimes he's perfectly content and happy for us to have certain things in our lives, but it doesn't change the fact that he's still God and he's the one where we're going to get our needs met. And so, just because Jesus approves of the existence of these swords, he doesn't approve of looking to those. He never brought a military battle. He never brought a militant kingdom to play. His kingdom was not of this world. And he ended up telling Peter to put the sword away and stop lopping people's ears off. So ultimately, he still led the disciples to the one and only source of truth and protection and contentment. But many times we'll have these things in our lives that God's not taking away. And just because he doesn't take them away, it doesn't mean we should be looking there for protection or contentment. That has to come from the Lord. It's the only thing that really works.
Yeah.
Steve, thank you for your question by email. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, why, drop us an email. We'll be glad to address your question on a later edition. Right now, across I-30 down to Fort Worth, listening on KWRD is Nathan. Nathan, welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hello. God bless.
Thank you.
A quick question for you. I have a friend, and we grew up together. Basically, we gave our hearts to the Lord when we were kids, and we went to church together growing up. But as we've gotten older, I mean, he's gotten pretty wild. I mean, he not trying to judge anybody, but, you know, he's into a little bit of drugs and alcohol, and he's not married, so he dates different people, and he's real angry all the time. He gets in fights and stuff, and I try to come at him and be like, hey, man, you know, why don't you come to church with me, and let's, you're a Christian, let's work it out. And he's just like, well, you know, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, and there's nothing I'm doing wrong, and et cetera, et cetera. So I just wonder, what's your advice I could give to maybe get him to kind of come the other way? Again, I don't want to, like, point any fingers at him, but obviously he's going the wrong way for some reason, or he's got something in his mind, or he's just it's almost like a destructive path, you know. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, Steve, it kind of dovetails with what we were just talking about, how sometimes the Lord won't take things out of our lives, but we have to end up choosing him anyway. And here your friend is, who you believe he's a believer. I mean, first of all, there's two choices for him. Either, you know, as the scripture says, they went out from among us because they were never really part of us. That's one possibility. But if he's a true believer, then, you know, many true believers who have Christ living in them can end up, as you put it, living a wild lifestyle for a time. They're living in denial, like the man in Corinthians who was, you know, he was doing some pretty heinous stuff, having improper sexual relations with his mother-in-law, it seems. And so Paul says, hey, you know, this guy needs some discipline. But if my hope is that he'll be restored and come back and hang out with us when he truly respects the gospel and the lifestyle that Christ wants to work in him. So, you know, we really can't say, don't say who will ascend into heaven and don't say who will descend into the lower parts of the earth, because this is basically insulting Jesus. Really, all we can say is the word is near and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, bottom line, your friend is probably a believer. I'd like to think he is a true believer in Christ, with Christ living in him. But you may just have to be that friend who is willing and available and waiting it out and praying for him and just waiting for that crash. If he is a true believer, you're probably not going to be able to argue him out of what he's doing or persuade him out. But he's going to find there's a lack of contentment there and a lack of fulfillment there, because if he's a true believer, he's dead to sin. Sin won't work for him. He's alive to God, and that's going to show itself one way or another. So, Pete, Steve, I'd just say hang on. Hang on.
Jesus will work him out in due time, I guess.
Yeah, just be there, be available, be patient, and know that the Lord may give you the right time and the right place to express yourself. And in the meantime, put on love and put on Christ and just love him like crazy.
Yeah, Nathan, hope that helps, and hope you keep listening. Call again if we can help. Quickly to Jeremiah, listening in Brooklyn on WMCA. Jeremiah, welcome to Basic Gospel.
God bless you guys. I've been listening to you guys for about a few years already. I like to listen to you guys. You guys are very interesting and everything. But I want to return to the question that the second caller called about. I want to ask you a question. So only if you believe in Christ is sufficient to be saved.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, a person
only
is saved. Yes, so what we want to do is we want to hear the gospel and then believe the gospel, and eventually, because of him, we start to live the gospel. But it's not our living that saves, it's our hearing and believing. In Galatians, it says that we are saved by hearing with faith. And so a person is saved when they say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he rose again to offer
me
new life.
Mm-hmm. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you believe and you confess with your mouth, so isn't confession has to be part of that believing? So
well, sometimes sometimes we'll hone in on a verse, but then you have to ask, well, what about a mute person? What about a person with no mouth? What about a person that can't speak? And so we don't want to highlight a particular physical action, but we want to look at the heart of that action. And so it's impossible to believe on Jesus Christ and have nothing to say about it, ever. So, of course, a true believer in Christ is going to have that coming out of their mouth, but it is not the speaking that saves. The Bible says it's the hearing that saves, hearing with faith. And so that's why we hear the gospel, we believe the gospel, and eventually we live the gospel. But it is the hearing and believing that saves.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeremiah, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Hope that's been a help to you. And thanks to everybody who called or dropped us an email to be addressed on this particular edition of Basic Gospel with Andrew Farley and Richard Pfeiffer. And we trust that this has been beneficial to you as well. We're going to be back for another live edition of the broadcast tomorrow called Basic Gospel, and we hope you'll join us then. Till then, God bless you. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.